John Batchelor. Ukraine conflict and threat to Taiwan. Different sides of the world, different hemispheres, and different foes. The People's Republic of China constantly rhetorically threatening Taiwan, and Ukraine under active attack by the Russian Federation. I welcome Josh Rogan, writing global opinions for the Washington Post, who's returned from the McCain Institute Sedona Forum with many voices in different directions about the linkage between Taiwan and Ukraine in the minds of the aggressors in Moscow and Beijing. Josh, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. There are two conflicts on two sides of the world. How are they linked to your understanding, talking to Ambassador Zhao from Taiwan?
Well, good evening, John. You know, there's a lot of talk in Washington about the notion that we maybe ought to withdraw or lessen our military aid to Ukraine in order to prioritize the preparation of Taiwan for a possible conflict with China. This is an idea that has been, you know, popular on parts of the right for a long time, but has really gained momentum in the mainstream foreign policy discussion as the Ukraine war drags on and the tensions vis-a-vis Taiwan and China seem to be rising. But, you know, as it turns out, as I found out when I traveled to Sedona, Arizona last weekend to attend the McCain Institute Forum, Taiwan's leaders don't agree with that. Okay, they don't want that. They want Ukraine to win. In fact, what Ambassador Zhao said was, Ukraine's survival is our survival. Ukraine's success is our success. Our fates are closely linked. And, you know, my point, what I wrote in the Washington Post was simply that, okay, well, if that's what Taiwanese leaders believe, that, in other words, in order to deter China, Ukraine has to win the war. And if the United States pulls out its support for Ukraine now, that will be a clear signal to Beijing that the West doesn't have the staying power to resist aggressive totalitarian dictators stamping out democracies. And if the Taiwanese leaders think that way, shouldn't that matter? Shouldn't we care? You know, shouldn't we at least hear them out on this? And, you know, the response that I've sort of gotten from, again, sort of the new right, the national conservative movement, and this kind of dovetails what you've seen from presidential candidate Donald Trump and others, is that, oh, well, the Taiwanese don't really know what's best for them. And, oh, well, you know, if they really do need the stuff that we're sending to Ukraine. And, you know, I get that there's a natural desire to not to overextend American resources. And I get that, you know, trade-offs in international affairs have to be made. But again, the Taiwanese don't think that losing in Ukraine is good for them. Okay. And so I think we should listen to them because I think they're right about that.
Well, I understand our industrial base is not adequate to the demands that are being made of it. But are you hearing from the Pentagon that they can't keep up the weapon systems necessary? These are different conflicts with different terrain. One is a sea-based threat. The other is entirely land-based. I don't quite understand why we can't do both. They're different systems.
Right. Well, what the argument has been from Senators Josh Hawley and others is that there is a lot of overlap, that Taiwanese need Stingers, anti-aircraft missiles, Javelin, anti-tank missiles, and small arms to case the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, lands on their shores and they got to fight it out in the streets. But I agree with what you just said, which is that that's a very unlikely scenario and that really control over Taiwan will be determined by the Navy, the Air Force, also things like cyber warfare, political warfare, information warfare, cognitive warfare. It's not going to be a ground war. If it gets that far, in other words, it's over and the Chinese have already won. And everybody who's in the know really knows that. But anyway, it's a convenient sort of excuse to say, oh, well, we're depriving Taiwan in order to arm Ukraine. Now, of course, the money is the money and the production is there is some overlap. But Admiral John Aquilino, just for one military leader, said very clearly in testimony that there's no tension. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, when I asked him that, he said, yeah, there's no tension. That's not to say we don't need to keep our weapons manufacturing base up to date. The fact is that a lot of these things that we will need in Ukraine, forget about Taiwan, we're not making. And if the Ukraine war drags on, as looks likely, we better figure that out somehow, perhaps with our allies. You have to have two thoughts in your head at the same time. One is that there's a real shortage of ammunition on the Ukrainian battlefield. And two is that that's really has nothing to do with Taiwan, despite some people's efforts to conflate those two things.
Is the Ukrainian conduct at present, is that determinative in some fashion in Beijing? Do we have information that Beijing is watching the failure of the Russians to overwhelm the Ukrainians?
Right. This is another sort of point of contention in this argument. And again, just to be fair to the side that I disagree with, their argument is that Xi Jinping isn't really influenced by the outcome of Ukraine. They say that his deterrence only is based on how many guns he sees on the other side of the Taiwan Strait. And win or lose Russia or Ukraine, that's not going to make any difference. Now, again, the Taiwanese government leaders disagree with that. Okay, they think that it's going to be pretty clear if the West pulls out of Ukraine, that Xi Jinping is going to take that as a green light. That seems pretty logical to me. Again, that's what I think. But the point here is that that's what Taiwan thinks. It's their country. They have a real interest in protecting it. And they also have a real good bead on the Chinese Communist Party. You know, we like to sit here in Washington and pretend we can get inside Xi Jinping's mind. But, you know, these guys live next door. A lot of them have been dealing with the CCP their entire lives. So maybe they're right. Maybe she does care. Then I would also sort of point to the mountain of evidence that China cares about Ukraine which is seen in the way that they're helping Russia in every way possible, except for actually giving them arms, you know, busting sanctions, buying all of their commodities, helping them out diplomatically, pumping out pro-Russian propaganda, anti-West propaganda, anti-Ukraine propaganda. And of course, that's a split screen with Xi Jinping pretending to be a peacemaker in order to sort of, you know, charm offensive the Europeans, which is like not really working. But, you know, that's the ruse. That's the ruse. They're on Russia's side. Of course, they want to see Russia win. But, you know, they're saying something different. And again, the Taiwanese get that. They are saying, but there are still some in Washington who refuse to acknowledge it.
Josh, is this good old party politics in a presidential cycle?
You know, honestly, I think this is a fight inside the GOP. That's what's going on. The conservative movement is fighting between itself, amongst itself, in order to figure out what its position will be for its standard bearer heading into the 2024 cycle. What President Trump said last night is he doesn't care who wins as long as the fighting stops. You know, he refused to say the Ukraine was right and Russia was wrong. That's what President Trump thinks. Ron DeSantis has said a bunch of different things. Sometimes he says we should pull the aid. Sometimes he says we shouldn't. So he's got his finger up in the wind. And what's going on is that, you know, this new right national conservative movement is gaining. You know, that's very clear. It's got a very big grassroots appeal. And, you know, therefore, its policy positions are getting more oxygen. Now, that's a little bit separate and apart from what the Biden administration is doing, because the Biden administration has been pretty hawkish on Taiwan. So I think the question for Republicans is, do you want to run to the hawkish side of Biden and say he's too weak, which I guess is like the Pompeo, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence position? Or do you want to write on the dovish side and say, oh, no, Biden's too tough in Ukraine, and so we got to get out of Ukraine, which is sort of the Trump position. And I think that's a fight that will really play out in the primaries. And I really don't know which side will win.
And final 30 seconds, Taiwan, are they making a case in some fashion that if Ukraine falls, we're next?
To be clear, that's what Taiwan's current government is saying.
Right.
That represents a big segment, but not all of Taiwanese society. There are other Taiwanese leaders who say otherwise. But yes, what they're saying is that it's not just about guns and missiles, right, that there are norms and ideas that bind human beings, including freedom, democracy, the rule of law, the right to love and who you want and do whatever job you want and travel wherever you want. And these are things that Taiwanese people value, and that's why they think these things are so important to defend, even in Ukraine, even a country thousands of miles away from Taiwan. That should tell us something. The fact that the Taiwanese care what happens in Ukraine proves the point that that we're bound in some way by this idea that we all have to stick together if we want to stop the march of autocracy, repression, and aggression. And so, you know, for those people who think we can divide those two things, our enemies are not dividing them. Our enemies are working together. That's Russia and China. So it makes sense that we should join together in resisting them.
Josh Rogan, Washington Post. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.